Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like the full season of FX's epic limited series, Shogun, FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss, and don't miss the all-new crime series, Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events and starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. It's all new and it's all streaming now on Hulu.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Your brief stint at the University of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
They win the national championship the year before you got there, correct?
Yes. As I was enrolling, they were winning the championship.
Yes, sir. Tim Tebow's already there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Chris Leak is a starter, Tim Tebow comes in, they got packages for him.
Yeah.
He's probably going to be the starter next year, unless you being Cam, and I know how you think.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go get this job.
Yeah. But that's not how I was recruited, though.
Okay.
I was recruited at the minimum with your skill set. You will have a package.
You have a package also.
Just like Tebow.
Okay.
And
y'all won the national championship. A lot of these guys coming back.
I could do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm looking at the style of runs. You know what I'm saying to myself, like,
that's me.
I could do it. That's me. I had to get my feet wet in the SEC as a freshman. Four plays a game just to run? Man, I could do that. Fuck. I mean, let's play linebacker early on in my rec ball, and then I transitioned into running back.
Right.
Then that transition to two, I could throw the further. So now you could play quarterback. Right. So these things is a part of my whole thing that embodied who I was as a player.
So you get there, and it's not shaping up kind of how what they had told you or the way you envision it.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, you're not getting these 4 to 5 plays a game.
Right.
And so did you have a conversation with Urban?
Urban didn't want to talk to me. I wasn't important enough for Urban to talk to me. And granted, you got to think about it like this. Do you even have a voice to talk when the person you're trying to talk about is the Heisman front runner?
Yeah.
So I had a conversation with my father to say, like, Pop, it's time to kind of rethink this thing, because I would not have wanted a backup to me to have the energy to say, I only can play if he get hurt. I'm not that type of person.
Right, right. You don't want to put that negative in.
I'm an ultimate pro. I'm an ultimate teammate. Like, I wanted people to succeed. You see what I'm saying? Like, I didn't want Tebow to get hurt. He's the greatest college football player to some people. You know what I'm saying? And it's subjective. If not number one, he's top five. Right. And Tim Tebow is owed a large portion of who Cam Newton really is. Because just the same way I gave you what sparked my aggression or my competitive nature with Jimmy Clausen, it sparked the same thing with Tim Tebow. Being around Aaron Hernandez, the Pouncey Twins, Chris Rainey, Joe Hayden, Carlos Dunlap, Major Wright, Percy Harvin, like Brandon James, Brandon Spikes, these Lewis Murphy, all these great players that I was around, I would have been a fool not to take what they were doing and what made them great and apply it to my journey in JUCO as well as Auburn.
Right. So some things transpired. You get into a little trouble with a computer, and you end up.
But that wasn't the reason why I left. Reason why I left, like, did I get in trouble? Yes. That was already taken care of.
Okay.
prior to me leaving.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, I didn't get kicked out of
Florida. But see, that's how they framed the story.
Yeah, I didn't get kicked out of Florida.
Okay.
I left Florida.
Okay.
And when Tebow announced that, oh, and by the way, I'm coming back. I said, oh,
it was a no-brainer, did it? Hell yeah.
I got to leave now. I wasn't playing when you was here. So, and then for Urban's sake, you couldn't even identify who the backup was between me and John Bradley. I'm like, bro, what are we going on? We fighting for scraps? Y'all can have this. Cool. If it was up to me, did I want to leave? Hell no. Because them were my brothers.
Right.
Like, we build real relationships over that 2-year span that I was there. We worked out together. We trained together. We bled together. We cried together. We sweated together. We prepared together. And I'm seeing guys like Joe Hayden play early as a freshman. I'm saying, damn, bro, I would love to have an opportunity to play. Marquise Pouncey playing early. Man, I would have loved to. Aaron Hernandez playing early. I would have loved to be out there. And those things when they're like, bro, like, we'll go back to the dorms and have these conversations. Like, bro, that shit was lit. Like, bro, like, you see all those people in there? I said, damn, I wish.
Yeah, I saw them, but that wasn't, they wouldn't cheer for me.
You know, the main, everything, all the reasons why I went to Florida was accomplished other than me playing. And that's why I had to leave.
Right.
And at that time, they'd have had a transfer portal. So I had to get it out the mud. Urban Meyer had to sign off to where I transfer to.
Right.
He gave certain restrictions. You cannot transfer to in-state school. So FAU, FIU, Florida State,
Miami.
I couldn't go to none of them.
Right.
And I couldn't go
anywhere in SEC.
So I said, how do I clear all that so I can go anywhere? I got to go JUCO. I said, shit, I'm going JUCO. And on top of that, what really ticked me the fuck off was when my father had called Urban to ask for a championship ring. He didn't give me a championship ring. So that really was my driving force to becoming the player who I was. I said, don't worry about it. I'm going to go get my own. Got one in JUCO. Got one at Auburn.
You could make the case, given the talent that you had at Auburn on the offensive side, Cam, you had the greatest offensive season for a quarterback in NCAA history. Now, I know Joe Burrow threw for 60 touchdowns and 5,000 yards.
Yeah.
But he had Justin Jefferson. He had Jamar Chase.
Mm-hmm.
He had Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He had, I forget the guy's name.
Moss
at tight end. And he had, if I'm not mistaken, another wide receiver. The third wide receiver is in Carolina now. Mm-hmm. So what you had, look at what you didn't have,
mm-hmm,
and what you were able to accomplish. So basically, Jimmy Clausen lit a fire up under you, Tim Tebow lit a fire up under you, and Urban lit a fire up under you, not only by not playing you the 4 or 5 snaps that he said he would give you, mm-hmm, but also when you asked for a championship ring for being on the team that you felt you were entitled to, like, nah, we good.
Yeah. But that's what made that, what they call it. That's what created the monster.
Right.
And if I could paint it the way I wanted to paint it, while I was at Auburn, there was a opportunity for Auburn to play Florida in the SEC championship.
That's what you wanted. That's what you wanted, Cam.
No racial slur, but boy, they would have seen the baboon out that motherfucker. I would have showed my whole ass. Boy. That's what I wanted. I wanted to prove to them that they fucked, that they made a mistake. I knew that was my point to prove I was better than Tebow. That was my opportunity to prove that y'all fucked up. That was my opportunity to prove that this could have been y'all, but you played me. And there was times where I will be the first person to tell you, while I was at the University of Florida, I was not the maturest person that I needed to be to lead that team.
Right.
And I would take responsibility for that. But who I grew to be, nobody was fucking with me.
But by the time you came back, that was the mature Cam Newton.
I needed alienation in JUCO. I was in Brenham, Texas. And if I were to give you the amount of money that you got from Cat Williams to put up on the line and say, where is Brenham, Texas? You couldn't point it out. And everybody who was in Brenham on that team, they had some roots or ties to Texas. So there was many weekends. There was many times where the closest family member was thousands of miles away. Only thing I could do was work out. I cried. I mean, I was vulnerable. I was embarrassed. But that shaped the creation of who Cam was. People don't remember this. When I was at the University of Florida, they called me Cameron Newton.
Yeah.
When I went to Auburn, it was Cam Newton. So for me, that was the creation of Cam. Two completely different people. I knew how to compartmentalize those different people. And I didn't let that situation use me. I used it. And when I look at my impact to football, I love to say people's favorite NFL player just started to get good in the NFL. I've been good at football by the grace of God. I was good in high school. I was good in college. I was good in junior college. And I was good in the NFL. There's not a lot of players that can say that. And it took a measure of focus and discipline and also vulnerableness to understand, like, bro, like, you out here by yourself. So when I talk to my 707 kids, when I talk to kids around, you know, the world, and I tell them, like, bro, I know what it's like to not have shit, and you so close to what you want. It ain't out of your reach. You just got to tap in and use this game of football and not get jaded by the distractions, the money, the NILs, the woman.
Yeah.
All these different things. Stay focused.
When you look at that roster, you mentioned Percy Harvin, Brandon Spikes, Joe Hayden, Dunlap, Janoris Jenkins, Mike and Maurice Pouncey. Percy said he smoked weed before every game.
Yeah.
Did you guys party that hard, Cam? Damn.
Shit, we was untouchable in Gainesville. I ain't gonna lie. I was so disappointed in the documentary because they left out so much.
What did they leave out?
Shit, Percy. Go talk to Percy. Shit, go talk to Charlie Strong. Shit, go talk to Joe Hayden. You see what I'm saying? Right. Ask them the real. And they would have did that shit for free. Fuck all the Netflix deals and all that shit. Like, we need to tell, you want to tell this the real story? Shit, that was a very toxic locker room where we still had success. But damn, it was a combination of a lot of talent that was boiling over.
Right.
And there was times where it was just unmanageable.
Right.
And then there was also times where it was a thing of beauty, where it was a competition every day, every practice. Like, we competed. And even though Tim Tebow was a person who I wanted to be better than, Tim Tebow made everybody better because he competed.
Right.
That energy that he had, that screaming, that roar, mm-hmm. and that, that's something that I could connect with.
Right.
And he connected with everybody else.
Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Don't miss the full season of FX's epic limited series, Shogun. Set in feudal Japan, Shogun tells the story of one warrior in the fight of his life as a mysterious European ship arrives in Japan. Catch FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. The Veil is a globe-trotting game of truth and lies between two women with thousands of lives hanging in the balance. And crime fans, don't miss the all-new series, Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events, starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and is waiting for you on Hulu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of,
a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Even a stadium.
How did your parents come up with that name?
So I got my grandma, daddy's side name, not the middle name, but she died before I was born, so I never met her, but that's her name. And, you know, my mama never really explained to me where Hallelujah came from. She just, I guess she was feeling blessed, and I was her eighth child. She said eight is a, what kind of number is eight? Eight some type of number. Mm-hmm. And because all my sisters, my mama got 10 kids. All the boys, well, okay, so the oldest three got their own daddy.
Right.
And then the rest of the seven, we got the same daddy. And so all my
ten?
Daddy. Yeah. My mama got 10 kids. Yeah.
I mean, please tell me, like, one of them, like, 50 and the other, like, they can't be doorstep.
It's like that. It go from my youngest brother is 21 and my oldest brother is 38. Yeah. But all my brothers, like, they got the same middle name. And all my sisters got the same middle name. Like, all my brothers got my daddy's middle name, which is Carmichael. All my sisters' middle name is Nicole. I'm the only one whose middle name is Hallelujah.
Yeah, well, you different. You special, huh? So you that chosen one. You that chosen one.
Yeah.
So what was it like growing up in a household with 10 brothers and sisters?
We used to be jacking.
Yo.
You know what jacking mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to be jacking. That's what a lot of people in one house gonna do, though.
No, nah, not necessarily, Glow. I ain't gonna let you talk about that. So, like, that's okay.
How many siblings you got?
I got a brother and a sister. It's three of us. I'm the youngest.
Just imagine, it was a lot of us, so we used to get on each other's nerves.
Right.
And pick on each other and fight. But we love each other at the end of the day, though.
Yeah. 10 brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. So, what was a typical day like for you? Because, you were homeschooled until you were, what, the fifth grade?
Right.
And then one of the older sisters called CPS.
Mm-hmm.
And then CPS intervened, and your mom had to enroll you guys in traditional school.
Yeah, so the sister that's right on top of me, she was like, you know, it's always a problem child.
Yeah.
In every child group. And so, we used to get whoopings. Like every child get whoopings, but my sister didn't like getting whoopings, so... She used to call DCS on my mama, and she was like, my mama used to beat on us, and then we weren't learning none in homeschool and all this stuff. And so my mama had to put us in school after that. So like it was like she was forced because she didn't want us. I think like my mama didn't want us to know like my mama is super sanctified, and she always say it's certain stuff that's of the world. She used to say she didn't want us to be of the world. Like, mm-hmm. She didn't want to expose us to all the right. outside world. And so she, only place we went was home and church. We didn't go nowhere else. Right. And so, by the time I got in school, I was 10, I was in fifth grade.
You was glad to go to school?
I was happy to go to school because we stayed 7 houses down from the school. And so every day after school, we seeing the kids come down
the street
playing.
And they be like, playing in school.
Yeah, looking like they got friends, like they having fun. And I used to, like, every time at 2:15, I used to look out the window at the kids walking home from school. And they just used to be so happy having fun. So I used to want to go to school so bad. I was so happy when we finally had to go to school. Like,
so what was the relationship like? Your relationship like with your mother? You said 10 kids. It's hard to divvy up attention and affection for 10 kids now. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's just like, so I'm the third youngest. So I'm number 8 out of 10 kids.
Yeah.
But I never was treated like I was a young child. Like once my oldest sister was grown and left the house, my mama had me like the child that was next to her. Like I used to have to put all my mama receipts together, so keep up with her money. I used to have to remember all her passwords to her stuff, so I never was treated, like, my mama never handicapped me. Like, okay. She never I never was in a group with the young kids. Right. So, like, she always had me by her. So, like, I was always more advanced than everybody.
Right.
Because she always had me, like, her assistant a little
right.
bit.
Help me understand. Your mom was, like, pagan?
What's pagan?
Like, there's two forms. There's one that doesn't believe in religion. They don't go to church. They don't go to mosque. They don't go to synagogues. Mm-hmm. And then there's one that believes that there are many gods.
Nah, my mom ain't even one of them. My mom just believe in God. And
she believed in God.
And she don't believe in holidays. Like, she don't believe in right. Christmas. She don't believe in Halloween. Like, we didn't celebrate a lot of holidays coming up.
Well, did she believe, like nature?
Like, as in what?
It's like... polytheism, which is many. So I'm trying to get a sense of, like, your mom, if you didn't go to church, you didn't go to synagogues.
I went to church.
You went to church?
Yeah.
So you grew up in the church?
Yeah, I grew up in church.
I'm confused.
What you confused about?
Oh, there's that you. there's that you.
That God hate you.
Okay, so you grow up in the church.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of people to haul to church. Y'all have a bus? What y'all have? A little mini bus? A Sprinter van?
My dad, I remember this white van my dad always had that we had to ride because it was 10 of us. And then when the oldest three got grown and left, we used to be in this Kia Sedona.
That's still a lot of people. That's nine people.
But we was all so little, like me.
Yeah.
All my daddy kids little like this. So we used to share seats with each other. So we all, matter of fact, my dad had a Ford Mercury. And all seven of us used to fit in that one back seat. My mom was in the front seat. My dad was in the...
Seven
kids. We used to all...
Bench seat ain't got that much room now. I mean,
swear to God, it was a Ford Mercury. I'll never forget. It's a gray Ford Mercury my daddy had got. And we all, seven of us, used to be in that back seat.
Grew up in the church. Were you in the choir?
Mm-hmm.
So you grew up in the church. And I read that Kirk Franklin and Donnie McClurkin and some of those were like your favorite. That's what you guys mm-hmm. listened to.
Right. Yolanda Adams.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So... growing up in the church, singing in the choir, did being a gospel singer ever cross your mind?
That's what I thought I was going to be. Well, my mama used to make me feel like I was going to be a big gospel singer.
Right.
Because when we was young, I used to sing in the choir, and then, my mama was a CNA.
Okay.
And so, she was always working. She always worked in nursing homes my whole life. And so, she used to have us, it'll be once a week, we'll have to go to the nursing homes and sing to the older people.
Okay.
And I used to get all the solos because I really could sing. And, I used to think I was going to be a gospel singer. And then I couldn't sing no more out of nowhere.
What happened?
I don't know. I think it's because I started smoking weed. But I don't know. I probably just never could sing. And I grew up and realized it. I don't know what it was.
Right.
Back in the day, I could sing. And I just couldn't do it no more.
Okay, tell me this. Went to church three times a week and you were a member of the worship team. What's a worship team? I understand a dance team. So what's a worship team in church?
I said worship team before.
Yeah. So what was your role? What was your role other than in the choir? What was your role?
In church.
Yeah. Were you an usher?
Nah, my mama was an usher. I ain't do nothing but I was on the dance team in church.
You got a dance team?
Liturgical. It was called liturgical. It's called liturgical dancing in church. You know when the girls had on the long white dresses, they be covered all the way up and they just be doing a little dancing. I used to do that.
Not before I was.
That's always been in church though.
Nah, not like that. not like that.
But it's like gospel. It's like it's called liturgical dancing.
Right. So let me ask you a question. You say your mom didn't believe it, like Christmas and Thanksgiving and
stuff. No, Thanksgiving we did.
Thanksgiving you did. Okay, so no Christmas.
No Christmas. No Easter.
No Easter.
No.
No Valentine's.
No Valentine.
Halloween.
No Halloween.
St. Patrick's Day.
I mean, she never cared about the holiday. Is that a holiday everybody really be caring about?
they be getting toe up.
Because they be pinching you when you don't got on green?
Yeah. It's a big Irish holiday.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not none you just celebrate.
Right.
Like how Christmas and Thanksgiving is.
So, how old were you when you got your first gift? Because if you didn't celebrate, what about birthdays?
Oh, yeah, birthdays.
So, you got gifts for birthdays?
It was really, basically, it was Christmas and Easter, because my mama say that those are pagan holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, Christmas is, it's somewhere in the Bible. Like, my mama know the Bible from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It's somewhere in there where Christmas, like, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. It's made up.
Right.
And it's something the people just made up to talk about Jesus.
Right.
And Resurrection Day, that's not the day he got robes on in real life, but it's just something those holidays are man-made.
Oh, okay.
And it's some, it's against, the Bible against it somehow, somewhere it's pagan holidays.
Okay.
And yeah, so we didn't celebrate them.
So help me understand this. How did your mom, dad feed 10 kids? They got to have some good jobs. Because you know kids eat a lot.
Well, we used to get food stamps. You know, the food stamps good. You got 10 kids.
Yeah, yeah. So, did they have the card, or did y'all have the books? $65 books. You know, they had books back in.
By the time I knew what food stamps was, we was using the card.
Okay.
But before then, like, it's something called a commodity house that was in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it was in North Memphis, something like that. It was a commodity house, though. And they used to go there and get, like, these blocks of cheese.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you
They make the best sandwich, don't they?
They used to make rice and cheese with the joints. It used to be
But
so
you know,
good.
You had that knife, you had to get up on that thing.
Yeah.
and it break off. It never came off straight down.
Yeah, exactly. So they used to get like that. And, I just remember always going to the commodity house for like Similac
right.
and stuff like that. Like all the groceries we got from right. there. And I don't really don't know. Because I stayed in the same house from when I was born until I was 15 years old.
Right.
I stayed in that same house.
How many people slept in the bed? How many sisters do? How many people slept in the bed? Cause this.
All four would slept. Okay, I never had a real bed in my whole life until. Okay, so from when I was born till I was 15, I had never slept in a real bed. Like we, I thought everybody slept on air mattresses. I never knew people had real beds. So like when growing up, it was a lot of us. The girls had one room. The boys had one room. Well, my two oldest brothers, they used to sleep in like the attic upstairs.
Damn.
So they had their own room. It wasn't the attic. It was like a room across from the attic.
Yeah.
But, and so the boys had one room and the girls had one room and we all slept on one queen size air mattress.
Mm.
And yeah, I was like that my whole life. And I never knew, like, I used to think my mom was being mean to us because she used to let people come over our house and stuff. Because, you know, I grew up, we had Reds and Roaches and blah, blah, blah. And I used to be like, when I used to go to school and the kids be talking about, yeah, we going to go over what's name house. I used to be like, dang, can't nobody come over my house.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought my mom was being mean the whole time. I would have been embarrassed because they would have been like, you don't got no bed.
Yeah,
you sleep on the air mattress.
Your back should be messed up sleeping on the floors.
Yeah, and we used to sleep on floors too, like, because, you know, one little thing can put a hole in the air mattress.
Yeah.
And, like, my daddy used to always go get the patches for the air mattress,
yeah.
and you glue it on there and patch the hole up mm-hmm. on the air mattress. And until they got the money to go buy the patches, we'll sleep on the floor until the air mattress got back patched up.
Mm-hmm.
And when I turned 15, I moved with my daddy. My dad was staying in a hotel. And that was the first bed I ever slept in my whole life.
So, was your mom strict?
My mom, yeah, she was super strict. Like, we used to have to sneak out the house because she didn't let us. She didn't want us exposed to the world.
Right.
But when we got in school, we was automatically exposed to the world. Like, we around all these other kids.
Yeah, they're doing sneaky.
Yeah, and so, as kids, you want to do what other kids doing.
Right.
So, yeah, we used to sneak out the house.
It's easier to sneak out, because you got 10. It's hard to keep an eye on all 10 of them.
Well, by the time I started sneaking out the house, the oldest three was gone.
Okay, so that's still 7. That's a lot to keep
yeah.
eye on.
And so, yeah, we used to be, like, sneaking out. And my mom used to go to work overnight, like, 11 to 7.
Right.
And yeah.
So, you grew up in the church. So, when did you, like, was there ever time that you, like, do you still go to church?
Nah, I don't go to church now.
So how old were you when you kind of like stopped going? I mean, because I read that you went like 3-4 times a week and mm-hmm. then probably went down to like 1-2 times a week and then probably no times a week.
It was probably like when I turned like 13, we had stopped going to church.
It was we or you?
The whole, if my mom went to church, I was going to church.
Okay. Like, so why she stopped?
I don't know. I guess because we used to change churches a lot. And so I don't know. I guess she wasn't with the church no more.
Right.
But she'll still have Bible study with us at home.
Right.
But yeah, I stopped going to church at like 12 or 13.
Michael's son, Marcus, was, I don't know if he currently still is, dating Scotty's ex-wife.
Yeah.
How would you feel if a teammate of yours dated your daughter? Would you feel some type of way?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. That is a really... I feel bad for Michael. I feel bad for Scotty.
Yes.
That is so messy. I don't like messy because when it's messy, everybody has an opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has an opinion. And you know, the internet is not a place for messy.
No.
And you have to understand, it's a lot of kids involved.
Yes.
And people are mean. People are mean. And that's unfortunate. You know, I just got onto social media because I didn't want to be around the meanness. And I feel bad for everybody involved because I see all the pictures. I don't do the comment stuff, but I know they're going to be mean.
Right.
But it's just, I just hate messy. And it's just really messy. And there are no winners. There's only losers. Because obviously Michael and Scottie's relationship can't ever be the same.
Right. Did you know, was it the Last Dance when Michael put that because he wasn't there at the time when Scottie refused to go in the game.
Yeah.
And he inserted that into the Last Dance. Did you always know that Scottie and Michael had this kind of contentious relationship? Because from the outside, it looked pretty good.
Yeah, I was surprised it was so bad.
Okay.
I was surprised. But in fairness, I didn't spend a ton of time with those guys together. Right. I spent a lot more time with Michael.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more time with Michael. You know, it's just a sad situation because I think if you win a championship with guys, y'all probably have a special bond for life.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
I think if you win six, y'all might as well.
Y'all should be brothers.
Brothers. If you win one championship, I'm pretty sure every time y'all get together.
Because you're going to have the reunion.
Yes.
Every 5 year, 10 year, 15, 20, 30. Yeah.
But if you win six together, y'all should be damn near blood brothers.
Yes.
So that's the thing I most feel bad. There's guys I didn't win with. They're some of my best friends.
Right.
Every time I see them, it's like, man, I got another brother. And like we bumping each other at All-Star game, right. Maybe the Hall of Fame ceremony, or we just bumping each other.
Right.
It's like a family reunion.
Right.
But if I had won six championships with somebody, I would think, man, we blood brothers for life.
When people that do what we do take shots at you, I mean, you had the funny back and forth. You and Shaq had the funny back and forth. You put Kendrick Perkins' face on the punching bag,
yeah.
And you punch it and you get in shape. I mean, how do you handle that when guys that do what we do take shots at you?
Yeah, it doesn't bother me because I guess technically we take shots at players.
Right.
The only problem that I had with what Kendrick says, there's nobody in the world watch more basketball than me.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, like, and I had just come out of March Madness, which pissed me off even more because I was watching two or three college basketball games a day.
Right.
March Madness really sucks because I'm watching games all day long.
Right.
But to say another guys don't watch the games.
Because he has a different opinion than yours.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's the only thing bother me. I say there's nobody in the world watch more basketball than me. So, but I don't get mad.
Right.
And the thing that's really funny about it, Shaq is so sensitive at times.
Right.
Because I was going to, like, let it go. And he's like, no. My mama told me growing up, we kill all roaches. And I said, like, so that's how the whole roach thing came up.
Right.
And so anytime anything happened right now, Shaq's like, we killing roaches. And Shaq is so crazy. He made a rap diss song.
Yeah.
But I don't take it like, the only person I've taken shots at, honestly, is Skip Bayless. Because, man, what we do is such an honor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can say stuff just to say it. Because my whole, going back then, I said, hey, man, there's somebody in Montana,
mm-hmm.
Maine, South Dakota. If I said something bad about these guys, they're like, well, I saw it on television. It's got to be true.
Right.
So I'm be like, man, I'm not going to say anything about a player, especially if it's personal. There's somebody in Montana or South Dakota going to say, well, you know, Charles Barkley said this guy was blah, blah, blah. So I'm never going to use my platform
for
negativity.
I'm going to get you out of here on this one. You once said that you probably lost about $20 million in gambling. Have you quenched that urge to gamble, or do you still like to gamble?
I love to gamble. I don't like to gamble. You know, I got to the point. So I would go to Vegas and I'd win $1 million.
Damn. How many would you play in a hand? 25, 30, 40,000?
I played 25,000 a hand.
Okay.
Yeah. Couple quick double downs, you can get that.
Yeah, yeah. And quick double downs, you get it up out your pockets.
I know. I don't want no check. I don't want you to wire. I want cash. And there's probably been 7 times that I won $1 million.
Okay.
But there's probably been 25 times I've lost $1 million.
Right.
So what happened was I quit gambling for 2 years. And I always take the same group of guys with me and I said, man, I miss gambling. They're like, well, why don't you start gambling again? I said, well, man, I was getting out of hand. They're like, yo, man, your gambling ain't getting out of hand. You're just an idiot.
Right.
And the one thing I pride myself on around my friends, they can always be honest with me. I said, why you say I'm an idiot? They're like, yo, man, we'll be sitting there. You'll be up $300,000-$400,000. We're like, Chuck, let's go. You're good for the night.
Right.
And in my head, I'm saying, nah, we're not leaving this motherfucker. I win $1 million.
Right.
And they said, dude, there's times you've been up $600,000-$700,000.
Right.
And you won't quit.
Right.
Because gambling is really just peaks and valleys.
It is.
It's just peaks and valleys.
It's the stock market.
Yes, that's all it is. And they're like, dude, why can't you win $300,000 and say, man, we had a great weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Why you got to win $1 million? And I said, what? They says, why can't you lose $300 and say, we still had a great weekend? And I says, are you serious right now? He says, man, you know I ain't going to lie to you. Let's win a couple hundred thousand, have a great weekend,
go home,
or lose $200 or $300. You ain't got to win $1 million. Or you ain't got to chase it and lose $1 million. And so to answer your question, I said, yo, man, we're going to Vegas for the weekend. We're going to lose a couple hundred thousand or we're going to win a couple hundred thousand. You know what we're going to do? We're going to play golf every day and get drunk every night.
Right.
And I had to change my mentality because you can never break the casino.
No.
They can break your ass.
Yes.
And my friends just sit me down and says, yo, man, let's just go have fun for the weekend. Let's win some money or lose a little bit. But that's what really happened. Like I say, I got such elation. But then when I would lose $1 million, I was so depressed. Not that the money, that's bullshit. Yeah, because of the money, but the losing.
But the winning never feels as good as the losing hurt.
Yes. You were so excited when you got all that money laying in front of you. But you're like depressed for a week.
Yeah.
You're like, damn, I lost $1 million. And then you have to send a bill to your financial people.
Uh-oh.
And they yell at you. And they're yelling and yelling and yelling. And then I says, hey, y'all better quit yelling at me. I'm gonna fire y'all. Okay. And then they're like, okay, we'll pay it. But that's what really happened. I was getting out of hand because, like, you just had, your point was so good. No matter how good.
Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Don't miss the full season of FX's epic limited series, Shogun. Set in feudal Japan, Shogun tells the story of one warrior in the fight of his life as a mysterious European ship arrives in Japan. Catch FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. The Veil is a globe-trotting game of truth and lies between two women with thousands of lives hanging in the balance. And crime fans, don't miss the all-new series Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events, starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and is waiting for you on Hulu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee.
visit RightRug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
It feels winning. When you lose, it just sucks.
I remember my really good friend, my ace Boon Coon, she used to hear me tell stories. And she would be like, and she revealed this later. She was like, you know, I would say to myself, she must be leaving something out. There's no way this could have happened this way.
Right.
She must be leaving something out. Until I got kicked out that Emmys party.
What'd you do to get kicked out the Emmys party? Damn, we can't take you nowhere. What'd you do?
I go to a lot of places because I'm lovable and people like me and I'm delightful. I am delightful.
What did you do?
I arrived.
Okay, you arrived. Okay, you're inside.
No. So here's how it went. So because Hollywood is just so inundated with whiteness, there was this conglomeration of folks that came together to say, you know what? We're going to have a Black Emmys party. Because, you know, have you been to the Emmys parties?
I've never been to an Emmys party.
So, like, they're just, you know, they're just very blah. Like, it's just a bunch of people sitting around like, am I right?
Yeah.
Am I right? Oh, my God. Kirsten. Like, that's the vibe.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we party, we want to have a little bit more fun to it. You know, call D Nice. What up, Derek? So, in 2018 was the first one where they had a Black Emmys party.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's like everybody who done been to all them other parties.
Come in this one.
Yes. And I went to that party with Jill Scott. And one of the people that planned that party was Issa Rae's publicist, Vanessa Anderson. So she was one of the planners of the party. But there's a bunch of people involved in planning this party.
Correct.
So I show up with Jill and Jill's manager was like, hey, you know, can we... And I remember hearing Vanessa go like, oh, come on, Amanda. Mind you, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong right here.
Right.
Like, I'm just standing with Jill Scott.
Right.
But nonetheless, we came to the party. We had a great time. So... But it, and I said to Issa, like, I don't know what's going on with your publicist, but like, she got something wrong. She got a problem with me. And she was like, that's between y'all.
Okay.
I said, well, it's not really between y'all because I don't have a problem with her.
Right.
But she seems to have a problem with me. And she was like, that's none of my business.
Okay.
Okay. So now next year is 2019. And it was interesting because in 2018, it was packed like a dick in front of that place. And 2019, there was like nobody there. But I was at the HBO party and every Black person I saw, I would tell them, make sure you go to the Black Emmys party because I am about creating community and I want us to be together.
Right.
So I pull up with my homegirl, Kathia, and Kendrick Sampson, who's on Insecure. You know the show where I don't have any friends?
Yeah.
I pull up with Kendrick Sampson. So we get to the door, and I learned later that she just is white passing, but this is a Mexican girl, but like she looked like a white girl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So she at the door for the
Emmys.
For what kind of party?
Emmys Black party.
There you go. So she tells us, you can go in, you can go in, you can't go in. Now I think she's talking to my friend because my friend is a realtor.
Right.
And she says, no, you can't go in. And I said, well, why can't I go in? She says, you're just on the list to not be able to go in. Now, I had also been invited to this party directly by Jesse Williams.
Right.
So Jesse Williams had texted me and said, please come to the Black Emmys party.
Right.
Okay. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna come to the Black Emmys party. Yeah. Of course. Like, that's what I am about. So I come to the party and I'm like, okay, why am I not being let in? Kendrick says, I'm going to go look. I'm going to go look around and see why you're not being let in. Well, baby, I'm not standing outside no party.
Right.
So I head out. But then I'm stopped by just by this brother, Joey Harris, who works with Janet Jackson. Joey's like one of these people who's just always, his disposition is just always like glowing. It's kind of like Jordan.
Right.
So he's like, where are you going? I'm like, oh, they said they won't let me in the party. He's like, absolutely not. Come on back. We gonna get you in this party. Okay. So we come back. And so this is an example of someone trying to protect and look out, right? So he brings me back and he's like, why are you not letting her in the party? By the way, at this time, I'm hosting Bring the Funny on NBC.
Right.
There is a billboard the size of a hotel two blocks away with me and my co-stars on the show, Chrissy Teigen, Jeff Foxworthy, and Kenan Thompson. And can I just put a pin in this really quick to give them their props? I had a real hard time on Insecure, and I'll get to that, but being on this show was so affirming because everyone there was so just happy to be happy. And I hadn't experienced that on that set. Like from the showrunner to the writers to my stage manager, Roger, to my co-stars, like I just got to be myself.
Right.
And it really let me know it's not you, it's the environment. And I don't get to talk enough about like the positive shit because people are always so attracted to the negative.
Yeah.
But I remember day one, Chrissy Teigen, we had to do rehearsals for the first day and they had me in these stilettos, Shannon. Oh my God. Like I would have had to go in the whirlpool. Yes. The feet were crying and I had an injury from these fucking stilettos. And the next day, Chrissy Teigen brought a foot massage from, Sharper Image and left it in my dressing room for the duration of the shoot. Like, that's the kind of people, you know, just generous for
right.
no reason.
Right.
Right. And we just had a blast. We had such a good time. And I remember Jeff Foxworthy one time, they wanted us to do this ad where we had to pass around a drink. And I don't drink. So it's like, I don't mind drinks being around, but like me pretending like I drink ain't my job.
Right.
So I was like, I just don't feel comfortable doing this. Now it becomes a thing. This is how I get labeled difficult.
Mm.
Cause we didn't get any prep for this, but you need to go along with whatever they give you. Didn't you know that? Whatever they give you,
no.
You're supposed to do.
No.
Well, when you're a woman, it's even more, shh, quit stirring up trouble. So Jeff Foxworthy saw shit going left and he stepped in and he said, yeah, I don't feel comfortable with it either.
Wow.
He used his fame, his white manness, you know, he used his disposition to just take the heat off of me. He said, I got you. To this day, I really want to do a show with Jeff Foxworthy. We would just like fish and talk shit. Like right. That's a goal I want to do. So let me know if you want to produce
it. You ever been fishing?
I've been present while someone is fishing, but I have not been given a rod.
So you hadn't had a rod or a pole in your hand? So
but I have dated men from the South. I have been present and had crappy cooked for me, yes.
Oh, okay. So.
Yes.
So I think you'd be more of a shore fisherman, you know, on the land.
Can't be in the boat?
Oh, Lord.
I'm generally asking.
Yeah, but I'm saying we go
oh,
baby
it's a
step.
We go
baby step, yeah.
It's harder in the boat than on the land.
Yeah, probably so.
Really?
Because you're not as, now,
it all depends. I thought there were more fish in the center.
They're more fish out. Yeah, but when they go way out there, they're normally fishing for a particular type of fish. Like when you're on the shore, you fish for anything to bite. Catfish, crappie, you know, perch, bass. But normally when you go out, you fish for, you know, maybe you're trying to catch tuna, you caught branzino, something like that.
Huh.
Tuna.
Snapper?
Yes.
Okay. I'm into
so,
it.
You know about fish, you just never actually had a rod in your hand and like brought it in.
I hyperfixate. So I know a lot about a lot of things because I become
immersed.
Yes. So like I'm a scuba diver, so I know a lot about fish. And then at one point it was like, I'm gonna learn everything I know about dogs. And now I'm gonna learn everything I need to know about Game of Thrones. I'm gonna learn everything I need to know about, you know, NCAA football. Like, I mean, like, but I do know a lot about fish.
Yeah. So you say you
know, because I'm in the middle of a story and sometimes I veer off, but I always come back.
Because I want to make sure we get to your insecure role.
So I just wanted to shout that out because Bring the Funny was a beautiful experience and it was super, 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 duper, super duper dope. So when we're here and Joey Harris is trying to get me in this party, the white girl says again, well, the white passing girl says again, yeah, no, she can't come to the party. So Joey's like, let me go inside and figure out what's going on. Again, I'm not about to stand out here.
Right.
So I start to walk away again, and now Elijah Kelly comes out. He's like, hey, 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 where you going? I said, they not trying to let me in this party that I was invited to.
Right.
By Jesse Williams.
Mm-hmm. Did you attempt to call Jesse?
Did I attempt to call Jesse? I texted him.
Okay.
But he's in a party.
Right.
You know, so I texted him. So then Elijah is like, well, I'm one of the planners of the party. So they can't stop you. They can't stop me from bringing you in.
Right.
So he starts to bring me in and homegirl grabs my arm. But I remember when I told you I've been a New Yorker since I was 12.
Uh-oh.
So I had to shake that off.
Yeah. Lose me.
Yeah. I'm crazy. So we go in the party and I go and sit down. No, sorry. I go in the party. I go by the bar. Mm-hmm. My homegirl goes to the bathroom. I'm standing by the bar and a security guard approaches me.
Uh-oh.
A security guard your size approaches me and says, hey, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And I said, well, why do I need to leave? And he said, because you're being asked to leave. I said, well, who's asking me to leave? He said, well, let me go find out.
Well, you came and say they're asking you to leave and you don't know who's asking me to leave. You got to go find out.
He was given an order.
Yeah.
So now he comes back. And he says, Vanessa Anderson is asking you to leave. I said, well, you need to find Vanessa and have her come tell me herself.
Is that Issa Rae's publicist?
Yes. I said, well, you need to have Vanessa come and find me and tell me herself. So he then leaves again and comes back with three other men. And one of the men now is a brother, and he's walking towards me cursing. So he's literally walking towards me saying, you need to get the fuck out of here. You need to leave. And I'm like, mind you, I'm dressed down, honey, okay? And he's like, you need to leave. Now, Kathia was in the bathroom. She's now just come up. And I'm looking around, and I can see people seeing the ruckus. Right? So I'm like, why do I have to leave? Because we f***ing said so. So there's, like, violent energy and language coming towards me, right? I ain't no sucker, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And... but I'm also not stupid. I can't fight four men.
Right.
So, like, I mean.
Right.
So, the first one who was kind, he had come up right here, but then the other three were right here. So I have to realize I've lost this fight.
Mm-hmm.
So I pivot to leave, but I pivot really fast because I'm going to still say my mother piece. So when I pivot and I say, I pivot to go you, I guess they thought I was about to do something. So the white guy steps in between me and the brother and chest bumps me and throws me back.
Right.
So now this is an assault because I hadn't raised my hand to do anything to anybody. So luckily I'm nimble in a heel. So but now it's like, you know, now I've been assaulted. So your natural response. So I'm about to go Super Saiyan on these motherfuckers. It's Goku over here. I'm like, and I hear in one ear, I hear the security guard saying, please, Amanda, don't do it. And it feels like, please, Miss Celia, don't do it. Don't be like me, Miss Celia. Don't be like Miss Sophia. And then in the other ear, I have my homegirl who's from the Bronx like, what the f*** is going on? This is some bullshit. And all I'm hearing is beep. But I look around and I see nobody coming to my aid. All these agents and people that I see around. Now, none of them are insecure. None of them are the actors from Insecure.
Mm-hmm.
But there's people whose faces I still remember. And they will not get a hug in a party either. I just refused somebody a hug the other day for this. And I realized, like, you got to go. So we walk outside and the security guard says to me, you know, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm just doing my job. And I said, I feel you. But you have to ask yourself, is it worth doing a job that makes you go against your moral compass? And he was like, damn. So I hope he left that job because he could tell that he was mixed up in some bullshit. So we're in a back alley, like waiting for a car and I'm crying. Cause this feels like, you know, I've been humiliated and I didn't do nothing. And that was the night that me and my homegirl became super, like that became my sister, because she was like, when you would tell me that shit would happen to you, I would think she must be keeping something out.
Right.
But I literally just watched you do nothing. You literally just came somewhere you were invited.
Right.
And even though you tried to leave, multiple people said, no, you belong here. Multiple people, another person on this team said, you belong here, so I'm bringing you in here. And then when I tell the story on my Instagram and on my podcast, it ends up getting turned into this whole other thing of you don't belong here. Amanda Seals doesn't belong here. And that's the thing. That's a narrative that has come about. Like,
that's what's
I don't
been perpetuated.
Yes, I don't belong in these places. And what ended up happening 2 days later is that I got a call from Issa. And she called me and said, hey, I heard what happened this weekend. I just want you to know I have nothing to do with it. Would you be willing to talk to Vanessa?
No, I tried to talk to Vanessa at the party. Shit, 2 days too late.
So I've never talked about this publicly, because it has always been incredibly important to me to protect Issa. Because I know that Issa is doing something within this business that so few people get to do. Mm-hmm. And it's not something I desire to do. Like, I'm not interested in getting a $100 million production deal. Like, that's not a life that I want for myself. But I know that her role is very important. And so I've always protected Issa. However, there's just been enough instances at this point where I should have been protected by Issa and I wasn't. And one of my biggest problems that we have discussed several times in this interview is that I think people are going to show up for me the way I show up for them.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's at a point where my protecting of Issa has become turned on to me and something that people are using against me. There's a whole narrative that is completely false that people keep spinning. They keep saying, you know, that I'm this mean girl on this set, that I harmed these people on this set. I just want to point out something very basic. How can I be a mean girl on a set that ain't my set? How? It's your show. You are my boss. I don't even have the capacity to be the mean girl here.
Right.
Because you can fire me. So there's no way for me to be a mean girl in this situation. And I know some people that may buck up against like the confirmation bias that they've created, but it simply is the truth. You know, when I got to that show, I had a show on Issa's website on YouTube. I had my show Get Your Life. And when it came out on her YouTube, unfortunately, the press picked it up as Issa Rae's new show.
Right.
But she didn't do anything except put it on her site. Like,
right.
I put all my money into it. I wrote it. I starred in it, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so I said, hey, you know, would you mind, you know, tweeting to correct this? And she just wouldn't. She wouldn't promote any of the shows, you know, and I just felt like that was unfortunate, but it didn't change my view of her character. Like, it just let me know, like, okay, this is how she do business. But in that time, her publicist was interacting with me and was from just day one, just so acerbic, like just vitriolic for no reason, to the point where Issa's business manager had to say to the publicist, like, can you please try and be kinder to Amanda? She's like a talent on our channel.
Do you? And you have no reason why she would treat you, behave.
So Issa says, would you talk to Vanessa?
No.
I said, sure. You know why?
Why?
Who's my boss? Who's my boss in this situation?
Well, Issa is the boss.
And where do I have to go back to work?
Insecure.
So what's the game you talked about?
You had to play the game. But hold on. But there was a situation earlier, Amanda, where she said, that ain't my business. Y'all need to handle that. Now she wants you to talk to her.
You're good at math. You good at math, Sharpton. Shannon Sharpton.
I'm just saying, because you like...
You can't spell Sharpton without Sharp now.
Man, so, okay, you have...
So I take the call.
You should have said, I want to meet face to face. I want to look a woman. I like to look a person in
the
eye.
My feelings were hurt. I just got assaulted in a party for black people in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in Hollywood longer than majority of the people in this fucking party.
Right.
My feelings are hurt.
Okay, you take the call. Hello?
Hi, Amanda. This is Vanessa. I just want you to know that, so none of this has anything to do with Issa. That's the first thing she says. None of this has anything to do with Issa. So I just want you to know that, but I do want you to understand that it was me who kicked you out the party. Okay. So, I just want you to know that the reason I kicked you out the party is because I don't like you. Okay. Well, that's all I need to know. There's nothing else for us to talk about. And I hang up. She calls me back immediately. Why'd you hang up? I said, because there's nothing else for us to talk about. She says, don't you want to know why I don't like you?
No, not actually. Actually, I don't.
No, I don't, because it's none of my business. I've never done anything to you. And for you to put me in harm's way off of literally nothing means that I don't need to talk to you about why you don't like me. You need to talk to your therapist about why you don't like me. And I hung up the phone.
She called back?
No, she called around. She starts a smear campaign.
Oh. So this whole time, your boss... And I don't do the gossip thing. So have you ever had a conversation with Issa about this situation, about her publicist?
You're saying since this situation?
At any point.
Well, I had that one time where I said to you.
Yeah, and she said, well, that y'all need to work that out. That ain't got nothing to do with me.
So now after this conversation with the publicist and I get off the phone, I start getting word that she is going around to the different publications and different people, because it starts coming back to me. Mm-hmm. And she's going around saying that I was in danger of getting fired from Insecure, which I don't even know if that was true or not, but that had never been brought to my attention. She starts going around saying that I got in a fight at the party. She starts going around saying that I peed on the floor. At the party.
What are you, a puppy?
I mean, I got to move it to the side. Yeah. Like, what are we talking about?
So let me ask you this.
So, well, I feel like I'm going to answer your question.
Okay.
So, Issa then calls me again and says, hey, I just want to know if this is going to be a problem on set. Because now this is going on for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And this going viral... Earlier in the conversation, you were like, why do you care if people who don't know you, mm-hmm. like, are saying mean things about you? And it's like, I wish I had that. And I'm at a point in my life where I'm there. No. But it's really f***ed up when the pylon happens and it has nothing to do with reality. Like, I don't even mind a pylon if it's something I really did.
Right.
This situation, I'm like, how am I the villain in this situation? Well, you shouldn't have gone to her party because it was her party. Well, it's not just her party. There's several people at the party. It's not like I crashed her baby shower.
Right.
But also, I'm looking at Issa because it's like, this is your responsibility. We are both your employees. Mm-hmm. And this is a part of leadership. This is the important part of leadership. And that's what makes leadership so annoying, is you got to manage people.
Yes, you do.
And personalities. And it's a
very difficult task.
But it is par for the course.
Yes, but that's why you got the $100 million or whatever you got, is to manage your employees.
So I said, you know, listen, I am not saying that it's going to be a problem on set, but I do think it is a problem that you don't feel that you need to step in. And she was like, well, then we just have a difference in opinion. Like, this is between y'all. This is between y'all.
Well, if it was between us, why'd you intervene and say that she wanted to call her, I needed to talk to her, if you felt it was just between us? Because you interjected yourself into that. If it's between two people, I shouldn't have interference from someone else to say we need to get together. The two people, either she reaches out to me or I reach out to her. I don't need you to intervene, but you felt the need to intervene in that. But now you don't feel the intervention to go any further. Oh, sorry.
So I'm also promoting my book.
Right.
So this hits me because now the press is canceling. So this is now affecting me professionally. And I didn't do shit.
Right.
And I don't like you, in my opinion, is not a sufficient reason to sick 4 security guards on me and remove me from a black space.
Right.
Which also begs the question, what the f*** is a black space? Because we like to claim that they're safe spaces, mm-hmm. and, you know, that they're for us. But at this point, black spaces are literally, it's just black faces.
Right.
And that even is, you know, something to do with this pressure that I've been going through. But to stay on course. So now we have to go back to shooting.
Mm-mm. Uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable. And I ain't even on set.
and nobody's saying nothing to me. Everybody knows, because at this time, it's just the women shooting. Everybody knows what's going on. They don't say nothing to me. And that's just fucking mean. It's mean. They don't say nothing to me. And let me tell you, from the beginning, I've been trying with these ladies because I want to make community everywhere I go. I done invited them to my house. They didn't come. I brought them gifts. They said thanks. I tried to plan a retreat. They said, we don't want to go. You know, I created our group chat for the show. I created game nights for the show.
Nobody participated.
I mean, eventually, but like...
Reluctantly.
But I'm trying to do this, you know, because I think that this is... It's like when I walked in and I was like, I feel like it's my role to make you feel comfortable. Like, I feel like that's my way of getting around this thing, this stigma that people like to put on me that ain't got shit to do with how I really exist.
Okay.
And in this situation now, I'm publicly now being like excoriated. You got this earthworm gym looking nigga, Sarunas, out here talking about, well, you don't, no one likes you, so that's why you weren't invited. What's hilarious about that is that we were only in two scenes together. So this is not somebody that really knows me. But you know what the other thing is, Shannon Sharpton?
What happened?
This is a brother who ended up having a child with someone on the show. And when he had the child, there was rumors that were going around that he was not claiming the child.
Uh-huh.
And so these people had started talking about it. But the people that are talking about ain't my people. I'm not involved in it, but I hear it because we on set.
Right.
And then he come around and it's, hey! I don't like like that. I don't like that. It's not honest. So even though that's not my boy, I pull him to the side. I say, Pete, people out here are talking about you behind your back about this situation.
The street's talking.
And I said, listen, this is a small business. So at the end of the day, if you are this child's father, I think you should exclaim it to the rooftops. If you are not, if you are and you don't want to claim this child, I would like for you to just consider rethinking that. Because as somebody with a father that did not show up for me, I really feel like she would really benefit from having a father in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, well, why ain't nobody coming to me? I said, I'm literally coming to you right now. And you ain't even my peoples.
Right.
But I don't think it's fair that you're being talked about behind your back by people that you think are your peoples.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, you know, thank you for that. That's the same nigga that fixed his mouth to jump on the bandwagon of We Hate Amanda. Because it was a bandwagon. And he want to be seen. He
thought maybe he was gonna.
He thought he was gonna get an extra. Right. He thought he was gonna get an extra scene or something. So now we're on set, and I finally say to Issa, "So are you just not gonna talk about this? Because it's now going on for 3 weeks, and my mental health is suffering. Okay.
Mm-mm.
And I just it was a tough time. And she's like, well. You know, like, what do you want to talk about? And I said, listen, like, this was a terrible experience.
Right.
This was terrible. And I, like, literally cried, like, face to face with her, like, this is terrible. And she's like, this is the first time she finally says, like, well, I'm sorry that happened to you. It took three conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, I'd like to talk to you further because I need you to speak to Vanessa. She is trying to ruin my career. She's like, I don't think so. Like, she's trying to ruin my, like, I bring her into the room. I bring her into my trailer, and I had to do another 48 Laws of Power. I sat her on a higher plane than myself so that she can feel as the queen. And in this setting, she is the queen.
Right.
And I say, you know, I don't need nothing from you. So I don't have a reason to lie to you. But the people that work for you, like, in close quarters, whose names are really attached to you, they will lie to you. And I had to convince her that, like, this is really happening. Like, I'm not making this up. And even if it's turns out to be not happening, I still need you to speak to her to deduce what it is, what is or isn't.
Right.
So then she finally went and spoke to her. But the damage is done. Right? Because now you see how every few years this becomes a thing. And it was started from a lie.
Right.
It was started from a lie. And you know, it's not about convincing people, because I don't need to convince nobody of nothing. But I just don't ever feel comfortable with people forming opinions not based on truth.
Want to join Club Shay Shay? Become an official member by hitting that subscribe button, where you never know who's going to be joining us for drinks and conversation. Don't be late to the party, because you know we like to do something before two something.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like the full season of FX's epic limited series, Shogun, FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss, and don't miss the all-new crime series, Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events and starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. It's all new and it's all streaming now on Hulu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases, and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.